KSLSports.com, Trevor Allen here with you. A story I want to bring to you guys locally here in the state of Utah. A buddy of mine who is also known in this state as a sports radio host. You guys see him everywhere covering the Utes, covering BYU, the Pac-12, everything. But he also has a little bit, I don't want to call it a hobby, but it might as well be. He is a MMA fighter. I'll bring in Sean O'Connell, also known as OC, and you guys can find him on Twitter at RealOCSports. Sean, how are you, man?
Doing good, Trevor. How you been?
Doing good, man. Doing good. And the reason why I wanted to do this story is because you had a pretty big weekend in Long Beach. First, I kind of want to take a backseat to that for just a minute. We'll end up getting to that because it's really interesting. But first, you've actually been doing some stuff for SiriusXM and, you know, just doing your radio hosting gig. But you also are now fighting again, and you're in another organization. Can you kind of tell the listeners what that is?
Yeah, so maybe if people follow my career here in the state, they might know that after my run in the UFC that was, you know, less than stellar, I kind of figured I was just going to walk away. I didn't want to go back down to the minor leagues, so to speak. I didn't want to step down in competition, and because of that, there's limited opportunities. So I kept the possibility of maybe fighting overseas in one of the big organizations in Southeast Asia or Japan or something. But, you know, I was only training just to stay in shape. I wasn't actively pursuing any fights after my UFC career ended back in December of 2016. And I kind of heard rumors that formerly the World Series of Fighting was going to relaunch as something called Professional Fighters League, the PFL, and that they were going to run a tournament-style format that would culminate in million-dollar prizes for the champions in each of six respective weight classes. And if you're in the MMA community, you know that there's a lot of people with lofty aspirations, and a lot of times when you hear about plans like this, they just don't come to fruition. So I paid a little bit of attention to it and started to, you know, make sure that the people who were at the top, guys like Ray Sefo, would know that if they were able to pull this off, you know, I'd be willing to talk about offering my services. And I finally saw that it was official. They had funding. They had a schedule. They were ready to go. And that really struck my interest. They got a broadcasting partnership with NBC Sports. And I talked to Ray Sefo and Carlos Silva, who are kind of the two faces of the organization. And I told them, look, I don't have any desperate need to come back and fight again, but that $1 million sounds pretty cool. If you're interested, I'd like to come fight for you, but only if you let me broadcast as well. And they were game. They said, yeah, we can do that. And I was still skeptical that, you know, the fights would really come to fruition and the money would stay flush and all that, but we're almost through the season. We got the finals coming up at Madison Square Garden on New Year's Eve, and everything has been fantastic. First class organization all around, and I'm glad we found each other, myself and the PFL.
And honestly, it's really awesome to see you back on air. Obviously, you have been on the air, but doing something you love, which is fighting, and for them to be able to utilize your talents. I like the fact how you went to them and said, hey, I'm willing to fight, but I also want to be a broadcaster. And so that actually leads me to my next thought. In your very first fight, so the way that it works is that you have two fights, I guess, in the quote-unquote regular season in order to qualify for the playoffs. You fought in your first match. It was in PFL number 2, taking on Hani Marks. So first, you end up calling the prelims on Facebook Live, which is great. But then you also took off the headset once the main card was on, the card you were on, and you went and got ready for a fight. How on earth did you pull that off? And not only that, you also knocked out Hani Marks.
Yeah, well, one thing that, I mean, Trevor, you've known me for a long time, and the unfortunate reality of being a professional mixed martial artist, even if you get all the way to the UFC, a lot of times, because the pay scale is nothing like the other major sports, you have to have a day job, so to speak. You have to have other things that are more of a guaranteed income. And I've always found a way to compartmentalize my sports broadcasting career and my fighting career. And luckily I've worked for some companies that have helped me, you know, one support the other, and it's been cool. But I figured that with that opportunity for PFL, where I'm going to show up at the arena 4 hours beforehand anyway and just be sitting around being nervous in the locker room. Why not let me broadcast before I actually walk out to fight? You know, as long as I have enough time to change clothes, warm up, and step in to fight, it shouldn't be a problem. And it took some convincing, but eventually the big wigs got on board with my idea, and they said, all right, well, it'll at least be a good story. Just don't blame us if you lose. And I was like, look, one has nothing to do with the other. I can focus in and concentrate on a fight 2 hours after I take off a headset. If not, I'm not a very good professional athlete. So I convinced them to do it. They let me try it out, and as you already mentioned, the results were what we hoped for. I had fun calling the fights. I think I did a good job calling the fights previous to mine on the undercard. And when it was time for me to step in on the NBC Sports show, I got a knockout victory.
And then really, you ended up doing it again in your second regular season fight. Obviously, you weren't able to pick up the win, but we're not going to get into that. So in that win over Hani Marks, you already qualified for the playoffs. It was just a matter of seeding, because it's off of a point system based off of winning and then whether you end up finishing them in the first round, second round, or if it goes all the way to the judges' scorecard. So then you're already in the playoffs, and that was PFL 9, and you were taking on Dan Spahn. So the way that it works, though, this is where you really earn your shot at $1 million. You win your very first fight, you have to fight again later on the main card on NBCSN. Now, Dan Spahn was your very first opponent in the playoffs. Talk a little bit about him, because he was part of the Ultimate Fighter a couple of seasons ago and has kind of had a up and down MMA career.
Yeah, so Dan Spahn, if people know who he is, it's probably because of his time on the Ultimate Fighter, and he was kind of a middle of the pack guy on his season of the Ultimate Fighter. He went back down and got back to the drawing board and trained and fought on more of the local and regional scenes again. If you want to equate it to other sports, you know, he went back down to kind of the AAA, if you're talking about a baseball equivalent. And he had a lot of success. I mean, he was in on a 9-fight winning streak. And when PFL picked him up, he actually was one of the few guys that the PFL picked up that maybe didn't have a huge amount of name recognition, but was riding a lot of momentum in his career. A lot of the guys on the PFL roster are like myself that, you know, maybe were on a 1 or 2 fight losing streak and maybe have been cast offs from the UFC for one circumstance or another, and guys that were looking to resurrect their careers a little bit. And Dan was coming in having dominated some competition on kind of the AAA scene, and he had a very successful run through the regular season. He beat Bozugid Ataev, who was the same guy who beat me in my second regular season fight. He knocked him out. And then in his second fight, he got a win there, although it was kind of a weird circumstance where his opponent just kept throwing illegal kicks to his groin and got disqualified for it. But he was coming in riding some momentum, not only in the PFL, but in the last few years of his career. And he beat me in the first round, so it was kind of desperation mode when the second round came around, but I got the knockdown and I was able to secure the victory. And a little come-from-behind situation there. So it was a good matchup. I mean, he's tall, he's long, he's a southpaw. He uses that very well. He's a composed fighter. But, everyone, if you hit him hard enough, they go down. And that's thankfully what happened.
Something that you mentioned was that it was 2 rounds. And normally in a MMA bout, it's 3 rounds or 5 if you're fighting for a title or in the main event. So talk a little bit about your guys' strategy, you and Jeremy Horn's strategy, from getting ready for 2 rounds instead of 3, and also potentially a second fight.
So yeah, to clarify for everyone, the reason that the first fight is a 2-round fight in the PFL playoffs is because MMA commissions, state commissions, will only allow a fighter to go in mixed martial arts for a maximum of 5 rounds in any one competition. So you can fight 5 rounds in a championship bout, or if you're going to split it up between several bouts for that night, it can only total 5 rounds. So in order for the PFL to stage a tournament, the first fight, the quarterfinal fight, had to be a 2-round fight. And the way that they eliminated draws and things like that was they incentivize action by scoring it heavily in favor of the winner of the first round. If you win the first round and you lose the second round, you can still move on. So in order to advance past down spawn, I had to win the second round, not only by the typical 10-9 advantage, I had to dominate that round and get a 10-8 score. And luckily, we were able to do that. But back to your question, how do you prepare for that? How do you strategize for that? You go into the fight acting like it's a championship night, that you're going to have to fight five rounds, right? It's prepare for the worst, hope for the best. So we just trained for me to be in shape, ready to go, and ready to fight five rounds over the course of the night. And thankfully, I didn't have to do that because in my semifinal bout, which we'll get to, it didn't go the distance. But in training, you have to pretend at least that you're going the full five rounds.
You end up winning your quarterfinal round of the playoffs. And so you then have an hour and a half to kind of rest up, train a little bit more, and strategize and get ready for your second fight in the semifinals for a chance to fight for $1 million. Now, first, tell our listeners of what you did in the locker room after your very first fight, getting ready for your second one.
So, yeah, I mean, the thing that you worry about going into a second fight after the first one is that you'll have kind of an adrenaline dump and maybe crash a little bit emotionally, and then the physical side would obviously come into play if you had kind of crashed and you didn't have a second win, so to speak. So we just went back to the locker room, grabbed a little bit of water, grabbed some electrolytes, made sure that I wasn't going to cramp up or anything like that, waited until the excitement had worn off from that first fight, and then got right back to warming up because we knew that, you know, there's only four more fights between my first one and my second one, and I had to not sit around and get cold, not let my muscles stiffen up, things like that. So it was actually really cool. It was the most fun I've ever had in mixed martial arts. You're coming off the high of an MMA victory, which is such a unique feeling. Like the feeling of winning a fight is as great as you can get, pretty much. And then you get a chance to go back in and do it again while you're still riding a little bit of that high. And the nervous jitters are gone because you've already had a successful evening to that point. So it was really cool to just go back out. And physically, I felt great. You know, I had a few bumps or bruises on my face, but it was all just superficial, nothing damaging. My hands were still feeling good. And just got a little warm-up in, walked back out there for the semifinals, and got the job done.
In your second fight against Rama, you obviously knocked him out in the very first round. It was with the left hook. You actually knocked him down a couple of times in that fight. What did you actually see from him to where you were able to attack?
He's a good striker. He's a versatile guy, but he's a little overconfident in his own striking ability. And as such, he takes damage. Now, I take damage in my fights, but it's mostly because I'm slow. He's a fast guy. He just is a little bit undisciplined sometimes in the way that he's striking, and he'll stand in front of you after he lands a combination or while he's landing a combination. He's not moving his head enough and all that stuff. So I knew that if I just threw stuff out there, something was going to land. And usually when you're fighting a southpaw, because of the way the stances work and the way the footwork ends up happening, your right hand is a more effective weapon against a southpaw. But Rama carries his lead hand a little bit low, and I was able to slip in a couple of left hooks. The first one knocked him down, and he did a good job of recovering and getting back to his feet. And then another one, after he landed a combination on me and kind of walked me back against the fence, I threw a counter hook, and that one dropped him again, and I was able to jump down into his guard a little bit and land some ground and pound. And he was already loopy, so a couple more punches put him all the way unconscious.
Once they end up calling out your name after you got the win, and you found out that you're going to go fight for $1 million on New Year's Eve at Madison Square Garden, what was going through your mind?
Well, I mean, just a lot of relief that I had, you know, it was almost a 2-year layoff before I signed with the PFL. And I was happy to know that I had come back for the right reasons, you know, like that, or that it was a good decision for me to come back. If I lost at the quarterfinal or the semifinal, I would have gone forward questioning whether or not I ever should have come out of retirement, whether or not I ever should have made another run at it, or if I was just, you know, misguided and didn't realize my place in the sport. And I was confident that with some of the other talent on the roster, I would match up well. And I think that, you know, the results proved that out, that I was, I proved to myself, most importantly, but maybe to whoever was doubting, that I did belong at least at the top of this PFL roster. And whatever people think that means about where you stand in your rankings around the world or how you compare to some of the best fighters in the UFC is irrelevant, because you just said that I have a chance to win $1 million on New Year's Eve. And I don't just have like an outside chance. I have a 1 in 2 chance, Trevor, to win $1 million on New Year's Eve. And that's something, that's an opportunity that was never going to be presented to me in any other organization. Never was going to be a possibility in the UFC. So I'm really, really happy that I'm with the PFL. And that was kind of the overwhelming sense of emotion I had after those wins, was just relief that I had done the right thing with my career.
Something that you had mentioned on the broadcast after your very first fight is that you were going to hang them up. You weren't going to advance to the final. Now you are in the final. Regardless of win or lose, what was the future plans for Sean O'Connell?
Well, that's to be determined. I've got to talk with my wife, obviously. You're a married man.
Yep.
You know how it goes, right?
Yep.
You don't get to make these decisions in a vacuum or by yourself anymore. So my wife and I will sit down, no matter what the results are, after the fight on New Year's Eve, and we'll talk about what's the best idea moving forward. I'm very confident that we'll be sitting down having that conversation while we count out our $1 million. And that, I'm sure, will influence what we decide to do moving forward. But, it's one of those decisions that you have to make with help of the people closest to you and the people who know you best, and obviously with your family. And so Kendall will have a pretty heavy influence on what happens moving forward. But I think I have a couple ideas.
Two more questions, and then I'm going to let you go. One, they actually showed your wife on TV on both of your fights multiple times cage side. What is her reactions throughout the fight, seeing you get punched and then knocking guys out, you know, just things like that? Because it's kind of interesting having a loved one in there watching you as you're fighting.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a better question for her. But I think the first fight, right, the first fight against Honey Marks was very successful, got the knockout victory. She was happy, excited about that. The second fight against Bozugita Tayev, I got cut open in the first round. I got kicked in the liver.
Oh, yeah.
And dropped. It was kind of ugly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not something you don't want to see that happen to someone you care about. So that one was a little bit harder for her to watch. And then the ones, she was very nervous, obviously, about the ones this couple weeks ago in Long Beach, where, you know, I lost the first round of my fight against Dan Spahn. So she knew I had to win the second round. I had to get a finish, something like that. So she was very nervous and then very relieved. But that relief only lasts so long, because she knows I got to come back out and fight again. So the nerves ramp up again. But at the end of the day, she's supportive, and that's really what matters. She knows that I'm going to do as much as I can to keep myself safe in there and make sure that even if I do get, you know, a bumper, a bruise, or a minor injury, that it's not something that's going to affect our future moving forward. So she's supportive, and it's good to have that in my corner.
Okay, final thing. Your opponent on New Year's Eve for $1 million is the number one seed, Vinny Magalhães. He has won all four of his fights in PFL, obviously leading to the number one seed, but he's finished all of his fights, one knockout, and the rest were via submission. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion. Just talk a little bit about your opponent coming up on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, Vinny is he's a very well-known guy in the MMA community, because he's had some success at the highest levels, but maybe not as much success as people expected, given his grappling credentials. He is one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners in the whole world. And there's really no other way you can say it. He's a multiple-time world champion against elite competition. He's a phenom. He's a freak when it comes to jiu-jitsu. At various points in his career, he's had a really hard time putting that skill set together with wrestling and striking and finding ways to be overly successful in mixed martial arts. But if you've watched him through the PFL, it looks like he's really figured it out. His defense on the feet is a lot better than it ever was. His offense on the feet is better than it ever was, and his offensive grappling has been unstoppable so far. So So he's an unbelievable, very formidable opponent, elite athlete. I mean, there's really not a lot of criticisms you can throw at what he's done recently. But anyone who's watched him for a long time knows that the question about Vinny is, can he take a punch? Which makes an opponent like me a nightmare for him, because a lot of times it only takes one punch from me, right? And conversely, an opponent like him with elite grappling skill, people have looked at me and said, well, that might be how you beat that guy, is you just eliminate his possibility of throwing strikes at you, so you get him on the ground and you tie him up. But obviously, you know, I train with Jeremy Horn, who's an elite grappling coach. He's an elite jiu-jitsu guy himself, got great partners. No one probably that's quite as good as Vinny, but definitely guys that can simulate and test my ability to defend what Vinny's going to bring at me. So I'm very much looking forward to the matchup. It's a classic stylistic matchup, old school MMA, striker versus grappler, and we're going to see how it goes on New Year's Eve.
And I am looking forward to it as well. I'll be watching every second of it. Sean, it's always great catching up with you. Obviously, if you end up winning $1 million, I would like to have you on again just because it's such a big deal. And it's not only great for you and your family, but it's also great for the state of Utah, because you really do call this place home, and it's awesome to follow your career. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And just a quick shout-out, I'm not the only Utah fighter in the finals in PFL. I'm sure you guys are going to cover this as well, but Steven Seiler from Provo,
that's true,
is also in the finals. So of all the places on this planet to have two guys in the finals out of six fights in six weight classes, Utah has two. It should tell people a lot about the health of the mixed martial arts scene and the quality of athletes we have coming out of the scene here in Utah. So pay attention to MMA, people. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but support your local fighters.
Absolutely. Sean, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Trevor.